Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 it's your girl, Monica Michelle, here on Michelle Minutes. Thanks so much for coming and taking a minute with us so that we can talk. So I am Monica Michelle with Monica Michelle Marketing, and for the most part, I've been doing marketing forever in 1,100 years. I was doing it before I knew it was called marketing. It was just the way I was, the way I functioned in my being. And then when I discovered that everyone doesn't work that way, I discovered it was called marketing, and it's something that I've always enjoyed doing. I work with small businesses. I've worked with a couple of towns and governments. I've also worked with authors and nonprofits, and I thoroughly enjoy it. So over the years, I've had opportunities to meet many people and just to hear their stories. And it's always so encouraging and inspiring for me to be able to hear what they went through and what they had to do in order to get where they are, what they had to overcome. And I've always, even when I was a little girl, I've loved watching documentaries, like learning about someone's story and what made them go this way as opposed to that way, and how even though they were trying to go from A to Z, they had to take all these other back roads that they didn't think had nothing to do with nothing and wasn't going to be helpful at all. But then once they got to Z, they understand and realize that it was a good thing that they had that car accident because they learned something that they're going to be able to use while they made it to their destination. So we have this series going on, and we actually have, this is our, what, we have about four episodes left, or three after today, that are left, and we're speaking with ladies and that are in business of all different ranges. Some of them have been in business for 2 months. Some have been in business for 9 years. So we're talking to ladies in all different places of business about the obstacles that they've had to face in order to get where they needed to be for their business. And the wanting or the needing to do this is because we want to share that, yeah, you started your business or you've may have been in it for a while, but let's rekindle that fire. Or if there's something that you've been stuck on and you've just been trying to figure out, how do I get to the next place, listen to a couple of these stories and perhaps it'll help inspire you to get to where you need to be. Or maybe these ladies have a product or service that they offer that will be able to be beneficial to you and help you get to that next level, to help encourage you to keep going, because you can do it too. So today's episode is actually sponsored by Dove Co. Dove & Co. And they focus on social media management. You can find them at Dove, DoveCosmm, because they do social media management. And so they're on Instagram as well as Facebook. They manage multiple accounts as well as make your Facebook ads generate the leads that you need in order to move forward. So today we are actually speaking with Monique Williams. Let me see if she's on the line. Let's see here. All right. Can you hear me, Monique?
Hey, I definitely can. Hey, Monica.
Awesome. Greetings and thanks so much for joining. You've been doing business for over 3 years with Beginnings Family in Richmond, right?
Yes, yes, that journey of 3 years is definitely one that I can't say I can take full credit for 3 full years, so I can talk a little bit more about that too.
Fair enough, fair enough. Before we jump in, let us know, please, where can we find you?
So you can definitely find me on social media at Instagram and Facebook on all tags at BFE Coach. And Beginnings Family Enrichment itself is located in Virginia. So you can definitely find me throughout Virginia. And, I love connecting with everyone. And so I also have a private Facebook group for women that you can connect with me on there as well. Just search the Girlfriends Chat on Facebook, and you can connect with me at the Girlfriends Chat, Moving Beyond Thinking About It.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much. So if at any chance, just want to give this disclaimer, if I'm slow in responding to something that you said, don't think I'm not listening. I'm getting over a cold, so I'm going to be muting when I'm not talking so I can drink some tea and something. So it might be just I haven't made it back to the mute button fast enough. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, you're totally totally okay. I understand. I feel the same way. I had a presentation yesterday. I did a training. So So I'm like, oh, I'm trying to pick up my energy flow because my throat is so scratchy. I'm right there with you. So I promise I'm not this dull and boring in real life.
Well, you sound full of life and energy right now, so we definitely appreciate it. So before we go in a little bit too far and get further in your story, one question that stood out to me when I reviewed your information, one of the things that stood out to me was that you said you were a coach and a consultant. How
yes.
are you both?
Yes.
You don't hear
so,
many people say, I am both.
Yes, absolutely. So just to give you a little bit of background, so Beginnings Family Enrichment mm-hmm. actually provides two arms to the services. So my first arm is that I am a consultant. As a consultant, I work with human service-based agencies that provide services to children and family in at-risk living environments and situations. And I also provide private professional services as well that include community-based counseling. So I work with families and children through like mentoring, parent-focused education, and I continue to provide training, which is what I did yesterday, for the Virginia Commonwealth University's Training and Technical Assistance Center for the Department of Education here in Virginia. That's what I do as a consultant. Now, as a coach, I primarily work with women to help them to redefine and rediscover themselves with balance, with confidence, and a commitment to their self-care. And by doing that, I help them to focus on letting go of their negative thinking, gaining clarity so they can fulfill their goals, and most of all, to achieve elevated growth and success in their life. So I have two arms to it, and balancing quite well, if I should say myself.
Good. I'm definitely glad to hear that. Which came first, and what made you pick up the second one?
So what came first was actually the consulting work. Prior to going into work full-time, I actually went full-time in my business in 2016. Thank you. I actually started in 2015 with the idea that I wanted to have my own business. And so I went through the motions. I filed my paperwork. I got my name. I did all of that. And I started with doing parenting classes. And so from there, I kind of put it on hold because I wasn't quite sure of how to actually operate a full-based counseling agency or consulting business overall. And so I continued to work as a parallel entrepreneur while I was building up my business and trying to build up my understanding of the business practice. I continued to work full time. And so as one of my good friends say, I continued to go to my investors, right? So I worked for various counseling agencies, and I ended up transitioning to my state mental health agency, where I was hired to do a national initiative, that was focused on how do we as a state come together and better address youth and young adult victimization and the experiences of those who have witnessed crime or violence in their life. I was doing that for about a year and a half. And while I was doing that, I was frequently asked to speak at conferences and to come and do additional training for agencies because of my knowledge and expertise around trauma and children's mental health and just the impact that it has on children and youth, particularly in schools. And so while my state work was more focused on this statewide response and creating this screening tool, I was being pulled in different directions to do things outside of that work. And so I started consulting from there, and it took off really well, probably better than I expected, to be honest. And I came to the decision because of this whole thing called a conflict of interest where I had to make a choice to either stay in my state position for this particular contract and project that I was hired for or to go into business full time. And so I left the state office and did this full time. And so I started doing the work and started going out to various conferences and speaking with Department of Corrections, Department of Education, Department of Juvenile Justice, Social Services, all of these state agencies that would put on these conferences and local community-based agencies as well. And it was while I was going out and sharing my own story of how I've been able to bounce back and to become resilient despite my childhood experiences and things that I went through as a young adult, that I would get professional women coming up to me and saying, man, you know, I've had similar experiences, or, you know, I'm trying to do this in my life, but somehow. And it was because of them that I was like, man, we're not too far or too different uh-huh. from the individuals that we're uh-huh. serving and supporting. And the counseling side, we all go through similar plights in our life. We have somewhat similar experiences, but it's things within us that makes us different, whether it's our personality, our experience, you know, things that help us to become more resilient, our protective factors. And for many of us who work in the human service field, what I found is that we had some type of childhood experience or life experience that have led us to going into this field of social work or sociology that wanted to help other people to overcome circumstances. Right. And because of that, a lot of us, particularly as women, we're still bound and tied down because of those circumstances. They literally continue to shape how we think and behave in life. Right. And those fears that are associated with those experiences are what can prevent us from having relationships, to exploring different career opportunities, and moving in a different direction, leaving a job, you know, feeling like you have to be bound by that paycheck for a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. So all of those different uh-huh. things really have set forth our mindset. And because of that, I found myself encouraging and empowering those women to explore other opportunities, to follow for the relationship and all these different things. And I was like, wow, I'm seeing myself now as a coach. Mm-hmm. So I went from consulting to also coaching. And so I went through the process of becoming a certified coach. I'm actually a certified professional life coach in cognitive behavioral coaching because that's the basis of what I do. I really work with individuals to explore what has led you to think this way or to develop this particular mindset, and how do we rewire our brains, rewire our thinking so that we can move beyond this place of stuck and this place of negativity that's kind of like overshadowed our life. So that's kind of how I transitioned into from consulting and counseling focus to also adding coaching in my element of work.
And that's crazy because, I mean, you've said a lot, and I'm sitting over here taking notes and sipping my tea with my lemon. And as I'm taking notes, I'm like, I need to ask that question. When you decided to transition from being full-time with the state to being full-time for yourself, were you a mom at that time, or was it just you?
No. So my son is 7. So, yes. And actually what made my transition to even think about going into entrepreneurship to begin with was because I was fired from a job in 2014. At the turn of 2014, I was fired from my counseling agency. And here I was with a nearly 3-year-old. And I was sitting mm-hmm. here saying, oh, my gosh, how am I going to make it? At
right.
the time, I was single parenting. I'm still a single parent. I like to say more that I co-parent, so I'm a shared parent. I don't
right.
do it by myself, and so I'm blessed to have a great co-parenting relationship. But at the time that I lost my job in 2014, it was when I was trying to figure out, how am I going to make this work? You know, why didn't I just leave at the top of me saying, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to push myself and put myself out there? But to be perfectly honest, I didn't think I was good enough to have my own business. I didn't think I was smart enough. I didn't think I had enough resources. I didn't think I had enough education. Like all these different things, you know, all those things that bound you, you know, with negativity. And especially when I looked around and saw other agencies who were more successful and thriving, I kept saying, well, I don't have a person who can run my finances. I didn't have this, you know, I didn't have all of those things to
all
make a business
work. All the reasons why it won't work. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Everything why, right? All the reasons.
Right.
And so when I was fired, I literally took the time to explore what would a business look like? What would I do differently from what my company was or wasn't doing? And so I kind of played with it a little bit, and then eventually I ended up taking another job, and it was a great company that I was working for. But I have to tell you, being part of a great company and a great team, you really realize that, am I really needed here? You know, am I making a difference? Am I making an impact? And for me, it was never about having a paycheck. It was really about making an impact in the work that I was doing. And so being a part of such a great team, I learned so much about better business practices, how to have a better agency. And it just wasn't my place. You know, I wasn't really feeling that I was making that impact and leaving that mark on the world. And so when I was granted that opportunity to explore a different job offer at the state office, I said, yes, this is what I wanted to do. And it was actually part of my, I kind of wrote this Facebook status years ago that one of my bucket list items was to go into state policy, and I did. And so I was like, well, dang, I hit my bucket list item, right? And while I was there, it was still, I still had that same feeling like, okay, this is not where I'm supposed to be. This isn't my purpose. And it slowly started to reveal to me what my purpose was. And when I decided to just jump October 2016, I had nothing in my bank account that was going to fully support me to work in business for 6 to 7 months or a year or however long they tell you to have money set aside for. I literally jumped with enough to probably make it for the first month or two, to be perfectly honest, to just go you know, month to month. And I jumped. And I remember thinking, God, what am I getting ready to do? What am I getting myself into? But I will be honest, and I'm a woman of faith, and I will be honest that it is by the grace of God that I survived. And I think probably because I've been taught to be a survivor throughout my life, like I said, from my own childhood experiences and having grown up and endured different traumas and adverse of life events, I've learned to survive. And so I use that survival to really get through and until I started to understand more of the business practices and started to put things in place that then helped me to grow my business. And so my son has been, he's been my ride or die right beside me. Lots of sacrifices that we've made over the years in doing this. And you know, at seven, he's such a wise kid. And I jokingly say that while I may be a CEO, you know, being a business owner, my kid is the boss. He's the boss because, you know, it's because of him, because of, you know, how I treat him and how he responds to the things that are going on in our life and decisions that I make in reference to maintaining a business. You know, that's what I look for, you know, look to. And that's the one that kind of guides my decision making. You know, how does this affect not only me, but how does this affect my son? You know, what am I giving up, and is it going to cost him something in return that shouldn't be a detriment to his own childhood?
Wow, that's crazy. And so if you don't mind, or I want to ask, and if it's asking too much, then completely understand, you make mention of something that you may have went through when you were a child or maybe even a young adult. And how did, I want to kind of know what that was to some degree, but how did that, when it came time for you to make that decision to switch over and, you know, be full-time and even continuing on now, did that experience at any time, I know it pushed you because it pushed you to where you are now, but at any time did it slow you down or did it stop you or did you have a moment of, wait a minute, because of whatever, how did that play a factor into you moving forward and keep moving forward?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will tell you, I'm a transparent person. And because my story is my story, I own it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I share it frequently, especially when I do consulting and I'm going out and I'm speaking at conferences. I'm happy to share where I've been, you know, where I've been in my life and what's pushed me through, because it's healing. And I've learned to heal from it and learn to, when I'm faced with those triggers, for lack of better words, it helps to remind me of, okay, I can get through this, and how do I persevere through this? So I'll tell you a little bit about my story. So I grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So big up to those who are listening in from Fayetteville. So I grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I moved to Virginia twice in my life. I moved during my latter elementary years, and I stayed here for about a year, and then I moved back to North Carolina with my dad for middle school, and I returned back to Virginia, which is kind of where I call home because I feel like this is where I developed a stronger foundation of who I was. I moved back here for high school. And so you can imagine if I'm talking about moving from fifth grade to sixth grade back to eighth, at the end of eighth grade, starting ninth grade, what my life could have been like, right? So I actually moved a total of 17 times throughout my childhood.
Wow.
And so that definitely shapes a lot of my experience as it relates to business. But even prior to those 17 times, some of the other things that I encountered in my childhood was I witnessed a lot of domestic violence in my home. My family struggled with substance use, so I had parents who had substance use issues. A lot of abuse that took place that I witnessed growing up in Fayetteville. At the time, not knowing as a kid that we were exposed to a lot of drug use. Was a big thing, and going back as an adult and seeing some of that, it's like, wow, how did I make it out of here? You know,
right.
And in addition to that, you know, I had an incident in college that I rarely talked about. I didn't really make mention of it a lot because I blamed myself for it. I don't want to say I was a fast girl in college, but you know, you have that freedom, and it's like, oh, you know, guys here, and, you know, being in Norfolk, we were near the Navy base and all the military bases, to be honest, and I remember, you know, meeting guys, that, you know, finding guys in the clubs and my friends and all, and, you know, I would go out on a date, and I remember this guy, he pushed up on me as if he wanted to pursue a sexual encounter, and I kept rejecting his advances, and I can remember that had it not been for my neighbor across the hall just coming in and breaking up, I probably would have been raped in college.
Wow.
And so that experience definitely shaped, you know, me in terms of relationships and how I move forth with relationships. And the moving definitely shaped how I looked at transitions in my life. And, of course, the response that I had to witnessing the domestic violence and growing up in a pretty tumultuous home environment over the years as a child, it really kind of induced my freezer response, which is really unproductive. And so, you know, my anxiety would creep in when I'm faced with those big changes. So when I was fired from my job, I was like, what do I do? And I froze. I literally froze, and I tried to hold it all in. And as a kid growing up and having those experiences, I literally just kept trying to be strong. And and so that trying to be strong, trying to hold it all in, proved its way that it was so ineffective when I lost my job and I had a nervous breakdown. Because it was me trying to be strong, trying to show that, hey, I got this, I can do this, it's okay, my job is going to regret not having me, I'm smart, I can get another job, all of those things, which, you know, it's great, it's positive self-talk, right? But it wasn't confronting the fact that I was hurt. I experienced a significant loss, I experienced a significant change in my life, and it hurt. And instead of me expressing that hurt, I just kept walking around like nothing fazed me. And it was when I had that nervous breakdown that I realized that I wasn't okay. And and so being able to confront that definitely helped me to realize that, you know, that experiences of childhood of trying to be strong and hold it all in and not let other people know what was bothering you isn't an effective thing to do. And I know that a lot of women, we do that. We try to be strong. We try to hold on. We try to push through.
Keep it moving, right.
And it's nothing at all wrong with keeping it moving. But if we're not being honest about how we're moving and how it's affecting our moves, then it's going to make us crumble. And we're not going to be a woman of strength, which is what we need to be. And so, so of course, going through that, the transition of, like I said, losing my job and then finally making that decision to jump full time, it really affected me because I knew that I didn't want to be unstable. I didn't want to have that unstable adulthood, you know, and as being an unstable parent and putting that on my child. And so even making a recent decision to relocate to my hometown to grow my business even further, I had some resistance to it because I'm like, man, I'm moving my kid and he's going to have to start a new school. And uh-huh. It was because I'm thinking, God, I moved like this throughout childhood, but I had to let that aspect go and not look at it as I'm being detrimental to my kid, but more so I'm creating a foundation. And so being strong in that regard is knowing that I can overcome those challenges, and I have, and I'm in a better position to not let my child endure or encounter those experiences.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's amazing because I will remember going back home and looking at where I grew up at, or just kind of like stopping to pause and think about it and remember. And in doing so, it's like for middle school, I used to walk to school because we lived so close. And there was a crack house like on the corner that I walked past every day. And you know what I mean? So that's something you walk past every single day. So goodness knows what I saw like in the street or whatever. And I didn't, I could have seen crack before. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? As a child, to be able to walk and see things, and it's just second nature, or it just escapes you as you get older and you move through life. But when you take that moment to, you know, that private moment, if it needs to be private or with a girlfriend or whoever, when you take that moment to sit down and say, okay, let's have some self-reflection. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
To ensure that, you know, let's deal with those feelings and those emotions to see how it doesn't, so that it doesn't play out constantly throughout your life and drive the rest of the decisions, and making sure the decisions are the decisions that need to be made for now and you're not making them out of fear. So,
absolutely.
I mean, that's something that's just so
absolutely
crazy. Yeah, and how that all kind of comes together.
Yeah, and I love that you talked about that from the perspective of, you know, whether it's sitting down with yourself or with your girlfriend, which is why I use the mode of a girlfriend's approach with my coaching clients. You know, everything that I do is geared towards being a girlfriend because as women, you know, we need to be the strength for each other. And and we are the strength for each other when we think about the just the crux of womanhood and motherhood and sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And in me having, you know, I don't think that I could have been as strong through some of these experiences without knowing that I had a mother who endured this abuse and these different challenges, and yet she persevered to raise two children. And she did the best she can. She did the best she can. And then going forward and knowing that I grew up, I was able to learn from the experiences of other moms, whether it was when I first started coaching basketball for youth leagues and AAU, and I would see these moms bringing their kids to basketball practice and camps, and they were doing it as single moms. And just, you know, knowing that just most recently I went to one of my first players. She just graduated high school and is preparing to go off to Alabama AAU. And her mom was saying, you know, I'm so proud of the young lady you've grown to be. And I said, but she didn't become that young lady without you, mom. And here she was, a single mom who raised two beautiful young ladies. And so, you know, so having those women around me, my aunties, my grandmother, you know, all of these women, and then even going to my own girlfriends, my best friends, you know, friends that I connected with in college. And although we've gone our separate ways and we're all in different careers and some of us have relocated to different parts of the state or different states overall, you know, when we get together, it's that moment of reflection of saying, tag, look at us. Look how successful we've become. Right. Look how we're doing these things. And we're rooting for each other. And that's what a girlfriend is about. You know, the ones that you can share that and say, look, I need somebody to be honest with me, number one, and tell me when I'm losing my marbles. And when I'm talking unrealistically, but also to keep it in perspective of who I am and what I'm capable of doing.
And that's the thing that is so important whenever it comes to relationship, because more often than not, and what I've found in just my adult life or maybe even my teen years, it was just more or less that when I'm in a relationship with someone, whether we're friends or whatever, or if I'm working near you, that sense of community, if I'm doing something yeah. that's jacked up, I don't want to be jacked up. I don't want to be wrong. And I expect you to tell me. I might not like yeah. it, but, okay, I need
absolutely.
To know if I can do better.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
And when I don't get it, then it's like, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were cool. Okay, we ain't cool. Now I understand. I love little coolness. You stay over there. We're just associates.
We're not really
but
friends.
To be able to, right. We just associates. I'll tell you because that's
you're
the
right.
kind of person that I am. But we're not friends.
Exactly.
Now I know you for who you are. You stay over there.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. Because some
absolutely.
People just can't do it for whatever reason. But I want to be better. I want to do better. And the only way to do that with a relationship is the two sides of the coin. It's yes,
yes.
we're having fun and we're that camaraderie, but the other side is that accountability, being able to say,
absolutely.
You know what, your butt stinks. you're losing it right now. I need you to get it together.
Right. And you know
so,
what's so interesting? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm going to say this really quickly.
No, go ahead.
You know, just when you just talked about relationships, you know, when I do trainings and I talk to different agencies about trauma, and even when I work with my girlfriends or my coaching clients and trying to help them get through different challenges in their life, I come back to that one thing, which is relationships, because relationships uh-huh. are the foundations that oftentimes that cause our hurts, but they're also the foundations that cause us, that helps us to heal. And so,
right.
you know, if we can keep that in the context of, you know, how do we continue to persevere through, you know, our business and wanting to explore business and be full time or go full time in business or pursue entrepreneurship, you got to understand that you got to build relationships and maintain those relationships
right.
at all costs, because that's going to be the foundation for your success.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is a lot of times we, as women, we default to that, you know, women can be catty or I don't have relationships
yeah.
with women. And it's knowing, being able to identify, and yes, some women can be catty, men can be catty too, but being
yeah.
able to identify there's something that I can see in you because we're both women. Just like there's something that men can pick up on each other, oh, he's shooting bull right now, because they're both men, whereas women are like,
absolutely.
Hey,
yeah, yeah.
So it's that is having someone around you that's like you, and have being able to be open and honest with, and you have that those same core values. It's important, and it's something
absolutely.
That builds us up and makes us better. And when we identify that and we use it for what it is, because everyone says I don't like to be used, don't use me. It's like no, if you think about it, we were placed here to be used.
Yes.
You know, you want to use your purpose is because you want to be used. It's when people
absolutely.
Misuse you and abuse you
ooh.
Is when there's problems. But when they're using you, that's you're supposed to be used. That's what you're here for. I love
yes,
this
say that, Monica. Yes, 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 yes.
Like, what do you mean you don't want anybody to use you? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to
absolutely.
Be used.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's the part that makes you purposeful.
That makes you. That's
used.
Right. That's your purpose. Yes.
Yeah. So I love that. I love it. So I'm sorry because. We've run over time. We're still recording, but
yeah.
my question is, when we wrap up in these last couple of minutes, is if there's a woman that is contemplating going in business or they're already in business and they're trying to figure out how to maneuver, figure out what's next, or even just trying to figure out how to find these relationships, because sometimes it can be difficult finding the right woman to be in relationship with. Or they just
mm-hmm.
say, you know, I won't be friends with women. I'm just friends with men, and I, you know, whatever. Do you
yeah.
have any advice for that woman that's trying to take the next step?
Yeah, I do, actually. You know, and like I said, we kind of hit on it a lot without saying it directly. But one of the first things that I would definitely advise you to do when you're really considering what's your next step in life is, the number one, assess your core values. You got to know who you are at the heart of yourself, and you got to know what you want. And you have to make sure that what you're doing in your life relates directly to what your core values are. You know, if you're out there and you're saying that, you know, hey, I want to be with somebody who's honest, or I want to have a business that has a strong integrity, but you're not displaying honesty and integrity, then all of those things are going to reflect exactly who you are and who you're presenting in the world. And so you really need to assess and align yourself with your core values. So that's number one. And number two, because I do focus on helping women to stay, you know, to commit themselves to balancing, you got to understand your priorities. Know your priorities and stick to your priorities. And because in business, in life, you can't get anything done if you have no clue what your priorities are. So, you know, so those would be the definite two things that I say, and that is, you know, to assess and align yourself with your core values, and number two, to know your priorities and make a plan to stick with them and to execute them. So,
and that's big, because a lot of times, I know for myself personally, the times that I feel the most I have felt the most overwhelmed, or like I just got so much to do and so much pressure, is when I haven't sat down and said, you know what? Okay, what is the main priority for this week or for this day or for this task? Okay, everything needs to, all my to-do items that I need to put at the top are the ones that are in line with my priority. So that,
absolutely.
I mean, it's important to know what it is we're trying to do and figure out what that priority is.
Absolutely. And it's so much more involved, and you know, and I've developed a great way of helping women to really master that. But you know, it's so much more involved, and you'll be surprised. I love when I always hear things like, "Well, I don't have time," or "Gosh, it's not enough time." And I'm like, "We all have the same 24 hours in the day.
Uh-huh,
what you do
uh-huh.
in those 24 hours is determined based off of how you prioritize your life." You know, you want to sit and watch Netflix for 6 hours, and then you try to jump up and do something, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You know, just sitting down, even in business, you know, sitting down and being able to map out what your money goals are for that month and how do you plan on achieving. If you want to make, you know, $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, but you have nothing on your priority list that talks about those practices to get you to those $5,000 or $10,000, you ain't gonna make it. That's the short answer. You're not gonna make it. You know, you can want to make it all you want, but you know, if you haven't sat down to prioritize exactly how you're going to be marketing, how you're going to be promoting your business, selling products, you know, how many products you need to sell, or, you know, how many people do you need to be in front of, following up on those calls, all of those things, if you're not doing that, you're not going to make money. And being an entrepreneur and a business owner, if you need to have that steady flow of money coming in and you're not doing the things to promote that steady flow, you're not going to survive entrepreneurship, because it's not for the faint of heart. It's really not.
Yeah.
I swear up and down, this is the hardest I've ever worked in my entire life. My entire life. And I've worked hard, but this is the hardest I've ever worked.
But what makes it so rewarding and makes the work not so treacherous,
daunting,
not so yes, is the fact that you're doing something that you're committed to, that's aligned with your purpose, that you know that you're intentional behind it. And that's
absolutely
the cool part about it, because I left my full time in February, and so every now and then I'm like, your money ain't looking like it to look, or you know, and I think back and I'm like, but you know what, I'd rather do this. And I mean, no, I'm not going to struggle. It's going to map out correctly and do what it needs to do.
Right.
But I'd rather do this and struggle with it, you know, trying to figure out the challenge of how to do this and how to do that, as opposed to going back to corporate America, doing a 9-to-5, doing something that I know I am not making absolute no impact in, and I'm not growing from. So I'm not really giving or getting anything from this experience other than a consistent, regularly check that I know I'm going to get every 2 weeks. And
exactly.
I might get a bonus check at the end of the
week. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong.
It
definitely is enticing, but it's not everything. It's not everything.
Yeah.
And like I said, even from that priority, you know, you can learn to go without as much when you prioritize your life right. You know, we can spend frivolously when we know that we have money coming, but being forced to maintain a budget, which I think, you know, that's the big thing, being forced to maintain a budget and to really stick to a certain income. Yeah, that's a big thing. So when you do actually get it, and that's a mindset too, but when you do actually start to flourish and to grow in your business and to prosper, once you put in that work, you know, that first 1 to 2 years, you're not going to see a whole lot. But once you start to flourish and prosper by year 3 and 4, once you get that money, you're going to know what to do with it because you've learned how to maintain and balance without it. So you're going to appreciate it more, and your mindset about your money is going to be totally different.
Not to mention, I've learned that since I've started the journey and made the commitment to do it full time, I have found the pieces to my puzzle along the way. So if I had stayed at work and been the perfectionist that I used to be, I would have been like, nope, can't go until I get everything together. Nope, can't go. Nope, 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 can't go. Whereas for me, it was like, no, I know at some point I need to go, and I can stay here and continually be frustrated, you know, about them changing the rules and all this other stuff, or I can take what I have because I have enough now. I have a couple of clients that are lined up. And so as I've been on the journey, I've been able to learn, oh, okay, yes, I never set that funnel up and I couldn't figure out how to do it. Well, here's I've met the person who does funnels, and now either she can do it for me or she can show me how to do it. But had I remained at the 9-to-5 and been frustrated, I probably would have never met her, or it would have been 50 years before I met her. So once you start making that momentum, it starts growing and it just gets awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, I do want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. There is a Facebook group, and I'll be pulling you in, and perhaps we can keep the conversation going over there if you're interested. But if you could, I know you said you're at BFE Coach on Instagram, but do you have any other places that you would like us to find or you want to remind people of?
Yes, you can actually catch me on Facebook and Instagram at BFE Coach. So I'm on both platforms. I am not a Twitter person, so I do not tweet. But I love to see all the Twitter stories. But
right.
You can definitely catch me on Facebook and Instagram on both of those platforms at BFE Coach. And then you can also check me out on my website at beginningsfamilyenrichment.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much, Monique. We do appreciate it. Again, this episode is sponsored by Dove and Co., and you can find her and all their great work on Instagram as well as Facebook at Dove, DoveCoSmm, as they are social media strategists. And again, my name is Monica Michelle. You can find me at Monica Michelle S on social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Periscope, all over the place. And I would love to hear back from you and love to hear your stories and love to learn more about you. So stay connected. But this closes another episode of Her Story. And thank you so much, Monique, for joining us. And I hope you all have a great day and found this information to be valuable and to be useful and something that will be able to help propel you into whatever your next step is. So I hope you all have a great day. Share this with someone who may be in need of it. And goodbye.